right, we are back. I'm Janine. This is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine, and this is Get the Funk Out. Hope your week is going well so far. So I was planning to air another segment I did, and then I had a wonderful surprise. Fritz Coleman is standing by, and he's been on my show before. He has this wonderful show, Unassisted Residency, hilarious, building on his well-received comedy special, Fritz Coleman, Unassisted Living, with a whole bunch of new material and special guests. And he has all these shows coming up August 24th, September 28th, October 26th, November 30th. And you don't have to remember all that because it is on the show blog. It's at the Monroe Forum in Los Angeles. And he is standing by right now. He just surprised me. Good morning, Fritz.
And a good morning to you. I'm just checking to see how you're feeling.
Oh, thank you. I'm
feeling
so much better.
I don't know if your listeners know this, but I am the regional sales manager for Paxlovid. And so I'm just trying to see if you... Have you recovered?
Oh, yes. I wouldn't be in here if I wasn't. I thought I was just tired. And I was just telling my friend Brian, who has a show here, that, you know, I think so many people walk around not knowing they have COVID because... I just was kind of tired. I wasn't feeling the best. A good couple of nights, I didn't sleep well. And long story short, I would just think in our society of caffeine that, you know, you would just say, you know what, I'm tired. I think I'll grab an extra large, you know, drink and I'll be fine.
And well, you know, they have, there's this new variant now that apparently is, you know, that's the trouble. You know, you keep getting the shots and then the thing morphs into some other disease and there's another variant out. So I think everybody's susceptible.
Everybody is. And I saw a not so interesting fact that in July in California, our cases doubled.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I know there's a lot going around. Even people who've gotten the shots. You know, I religiously got the shots because of my age and some other stuff I have going on. Mm-hmm. And I still got it.
Oh.
But my doctor said it will be brief. It may be, you know, I got a really bad sore throat for 3 days, then it would miraculously disappear.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had it even with the shots. So you just have to get the shots and hope that that tones down your case a little bit.
I know. And, you know, also, Fritz, I noticed that this time around, I really honed in on what could I do to boost my mental and emotional health because I was here. I'm stuck in the bedroom and I play guitar and I thought I'm going to play guitar for as many hours as I want. And it just gave me such a lift to do something and not just be
very
lying around.
Yeah,
definitely.
Because that's a physical and an emotional act.
Yes.
You know, so it probably is very helpful.
Yes, definitely. So tell me what's going on with you. I'm so excited to have these shows coming up.
Well, yes. I'm doing a show tomorrow night at the Lake Forest Performing Arts Center.
Okay.
And up until last night, we were sold out. But this always happens with shows. People decide that they have something else that pops up in their life. And so they're kind enough to call and relinquish their tickets back. So we have a very few left. So if you'd like to come to a show at 7:30 tomorrow night at Lake Forest Performing Arts Center, that would be fantastic.
Wonderful. Okay. And so tell me about the show, because I know you've been on before, but listeners might not be familiar with how you took this nonlinear road to get here.
Yeah. I'm a monologist. I've been a comic for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And my format is I do what I call single topic monologues. And I've been doing this for about 30 years. My first one is about being a father from a divorced family. My second one was about divorce. My third one was about the news business called Tonight at 11. My fourth one was my first one about getting older called Defying Gravity. And this one is about me being fully entrenched in oldness.
Okay.
And it's called Unassisted Living. And so I just spend time talking about the common experience of getting old, making it to a certain age. And I'm having so much fun with it because, you know, the older demographic, say the Medicare forward graphic demographic, is not serviced with stand-up comedy or performance. There's very few venues where they have that sort of entertainment. So I'm having a lot of fun.
I love
speaking
that
to people of a certain age, old people and their parents. You know, that kind of thing.
Well, what's also interesting, so I do a lot of mental health advocacy, and I've been really tuned into the fact that there is a loneliness epidemic, especially post-pandemic, affecting, you know, young kids
100%.
On up, right? So you have older people that perhaps they don't get as many visitors, or during the pandemic they were pushed to safety, but they became very depressed and socially isolated. And I love that you're getting people out into a live situation.
Well, I'm so glad to hear you say that, and it means more coming from a professional. But I will also say this. I think comedians, the non-political comedians,
mm-hmm.
And I don't talk about politics in my act. I talk about all of the common experience of being a person of a certain age. I think that we serve a function right now because our society is so divided.
Yeah.
And there's such a dark cloud. And there's such insecurity about where we're going and what we're going to be like in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
That if you can just offer an hour and a half break from that among people, and talk about what we have in common as opposed to what separates us, we're really providing a great social service. And people talk about that all the time. You know, they leave the show and they say, man, I needed that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that there's a really interesting function of comedians at this moment.
I think that's great. I also feel that there's tremendous, and there's research behind this, power in intergenerational relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So do you find that some of your audience is comprised of maybe someone bringing their grandmother?
100%. I do a residency at the El Portal Theater in North Hollywood where I do a show once a month. We're coming up on 2 years. And there are people who have been there two and three times to the show.
Okay.
And the show changes a little bit, but not a lot. But people come to see the show and they see, wow, I'm bringing my mother here for her birthday or my grandmother here.
Yeah.
On the other hand, we have older people who bring their children, not young kids, but, mm-hmm. you know, 40, 50-year-old children. And I say that my show is a cautionary tale about what it's going to be like if you reach a certain age. So it really, the humor is accessible to people of adults of any age, but it's particularly written about me being a mid-70-year-old person.
I love it. Is this something you dreamed of doing when you were at NBC?
Well, I a lot of people don't know this. I got my job doing weather from being a comedian. My boss saw me on stage at the Comedy Store in Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
and I talked on stage about having been a weathercaster in the Navy. I worked for Armed Forces Radio and Television in the Navy for 4 years.
Okay.
And I talked about being forced to do the weather in the Navy against my will because I really didn't know anything about it, but it didn't seem to matter to the Navy that I had no schooling in meteorology. And I told a couple of anecdotes about that.
Yeah.
And after my show was over at the Comedy Store, this man, this news director from Channel 4, introduced himself and he said, I love what you said about the weather, and this is an odd question. Do you have any desire to come to Channel 4 and do some vacation relief weathercasting for me? I have a main guy who needs a vacation. I need help on weekends. And I said, well, you did hear me say during the show that I don't know anything about weather. And the man said, perfect. There's no weather in California. This will work out great.
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, oh, my God. I was making $25 a night at the Comedy Store. I said, when do you want me to start?
Sure.
So I auditioned. I got the job. I did the vacation spot, the fill-in spot for 2 years. Then I was bumped up to the main position, and I retired after 40 years. It's one of the great strokes of luck I've ever been exposed to. I'm so fortunate.
I love that you said yes to that. You didn't hesitate.
Well,
you just
yeah,
did it.
I tell you, that's funny that you mentioned that. Again, I appreciate your opinion about that because I tell my children and even classes that I go to speak to, the mm-hmm. only thing I brought to the table in this whole experience was that I wasn't afraid to take a chance
yeah.
in doing something I had never planned on. But I thought about it for a second. I said, why not? What do I have to lose?
Why not?
And all I brought to the table was the guts to try.
Yes.
And that's all you can do in life. I mean, people will go to college and get a degree in something, but then some odd opportunity might come around the corner and present itself, and you have to say, what's the good side, what's the downside, why don't I try this? Even if I'm not successful, this is going to be a character building experience for me.
Sure.
So that that's truthfully what I brought to the table. When I was offered this opportunity, I wasn't afraid to say yes.
It's so important. I remember taking improv classes and the power of yes and.
Absolutely. That's the whole trick to improv.
And also to life, because I tell people, you know, create a nonlinear life. Take those moments like you did, and because you never know where that's going to lead you.
100%.
Yeah.
And then people said, well, did you sell out? You came out here to be a comedian.
No.
And I said, no, I didn't sell out. First of all, you know, I was an undiscovered talent when I came to town. And if I would go on the road as a comedian, I would go as what they call a feature act. You'd go to, like, Cincinnati and work in the comedy club. You'd be a feature act if you were unknown, and that would be the middle act.
Sure.
So there'd be an opening act, which is usually the MC from the local area, then the feature act, which would do 20 minutes, and then the headliner, which had some national exposure. But, you know, I was making $500 or $600 a week as a feature act, doing six nights a week, often having to pay for my own transportation. I hated that life.
I'm sure.
So this opportunity presented itself for me to stay off these bad road jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to where I worked two or three nights a week doing comedy, even when I was doing the weather.
Yeah.
So it was a win-win situation.
And I feel like going in and not having that background in weather must have been fantastic, because there's not this pressure that you've created for yourself where you have this background, you got to prove yourself. And you just went in there and you probably just were obviously authentic, and then people watching you could relate to you more.
That's a very good observation. Thank you. When I got into the weather, which was my first day on the air at Channel 4, was Christmas Eve 1982.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a period of time when, for a couple of reasons, it was perfect. There wasn't as much news in town. There was only 2, 4, and 7 channels. And then, you know, Channel 5 and 11 and 9 and all these independent channels sort of blossomed out of that, but there was less competition. And also, it wasn't as meteorologically oriented. I was hired because I was a comedian. I was hired for my personality. I wasn't hired for my meteorological knowledge. And back then, this is pre-climate change, it wasn't about meteorology. You were just being a communicator.
Sure.
I always said that my job on the weather was being the palate cleanser between the tragedy and the sports. I was just a brief moment of fresh air. I was the least threatening part of the newscast, and I used my personality, and that was the whole job. It wasn't about isobars and isotherms and low-pressure systems and all that nonsense that nobody really cares about. I was a personality on the news, and so it was different when I started.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more competitive now, and weather is a lot more serious because of climate change.
I'm smiling thinking back then, you know, here, sunny California weather, how much could you really talk about, you know?
Well, no, here was the thing. I would go to work every day, and my whole job was to think up new ways of saying morning clouds and fog, hazy afternoon sun. And then I'd go back to work tomorrow, and I'd say, hey, guess what? Morning clouds and fog, hazy afternoon sun. What a surprise. And the only difference between tomorrow's forecast and today's forecast is I'm wearing a different tie. That's the whole thing. And my whole job was to pretend I'd never said those words before and present it with a modicum of enthusiasm so I kept people entertained. And, you know, between April and October, the weather never changes in California. But now, everything that I'm saying to you is off the table because we have fire season that lasts all year.
I know.
We have El Niños and La Niñas that are more severe.
Mm-hmm.
We have extremes in temperature that are more severe. We have a Santa Ana wind season that can happen all year long. It's all very different now because
exactly.
of this phenomenon called climate change.
Yes.
So I'm so glad that I'm not starting out in the business now, because you'll notice that everybody that's a weather person now, regardless of whether they are quite beautiful and shapely and wear a cocktail dress on the air,
yes.
they still have to have what's called an AMS seal, the American Meteorological Society seal. They are meteorologists. I was not a meteorologist. I was a communicator. Mm-hmm. But now, because of the competition and because of climate change, you have to have a Bachelor of Science in meteorology or atmospheric sciences. I couldn't get the job now if I applied for it.
Sure. Did I ever mention to you I was friends with Sonny Fox? You know who Sonny Fox was, correct?
Yes, of course.
Okay. So I met Sonny because he hosted Wonderama years ago, but it wasn't the Wonderama I watched when I lived in New York. It was before that. But he told me repeatedly how when he got into TV, he had no experience, but he, you know, was personable. He was funny. He just said yes.
It's a communications job.
Yeah.
Really, it's the news is a very interesting psychology. It's one of the only forms of television where we break the fourth wall. That is, we look right into the camera.
Yes.
And when you look into the camera, you set up this sort of a false intimacy with your audience. And when you come on the air at the same time every day, I came on at 5:18 to do the 5 o'clock news every day for 40 years, mm-hmm. you have this relationship with the audience. And they sort of accept you into their family. And what got me accepted into people's families is they just liked the way I presented the information. The weather was almost secondary. I just made them comfortable in being on there whatever I said.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
They looked out the window earlier. They knew what the weather was going to be. And here's Fritz. And, you know, it's like you're reminding them that their life continues. There's my old pal Fritz, so life must continue.
Yes.
It's very interesting. It's an interesting psychology. And when it's so funny, if I run into somebody at the grocery store, they'll say to me, I've been watching you for years.
Aww.
I named my parakeet Fritz, and I feel like you're a member of my family, and I just want to give you a suggestion, if you don't mind. And I say, certainly not. Please never wear that purple tie again. It's very unflattering your hair. I mean, it's like they're talking to a nephew or something.
It's so funny.
Because they have accepted you into their lives, and they have a kind of an unspoken ownership over you. It's really fascinating,
yeah.
But it's cute, and I don't disrespect it. I don't take it for granted. It was a lovely thing. I had an amazing career for 4 years.
Well, what it reminds me of is I remember somebody saying to me, I was taking an acting class, and this casting director, she's wonderful, said, have a full life. And I feel like when you got this position, you had so much to offer. You didn't have this plain vanilla background. You know, you're a comedian.
No.
and you conveyed yourself in a very realistic way to viewers.
Well, and I can't explain that, except here's what I did learn over my 40 years in television, is that the camera doesn't lie. Mm-hmm. People have a great sense of who you are.
Oh, yeah.
It's not necessarily what you say every day. It's how you say it. They look in your eyes. They hear the tone of your voice. They have a sense of who you are as a human being. Again, you're breaking the fourth wall. You're having this fake eye contact with them. And people know you. And because they'll ask me questions about somebody I work with, and I try not to speak negatively of people, even if I don't like them. And I
That's
thought,
good.
Wow, you know, I'm saying in my own mind to myself, what a perceptive question. That person really, they'll say, hey, what's the deal with so-and-so? And you know what they're saying. They're thinking, oh, my God, how can you get along with that person? Because they get a sense of who they are through the camera.
Sure.
And going back to your point about having a full life, the one quality of me getting older that I really appreciate is I am more grateful for everything I've had every single day.
Mm.
I've never been happier in my life than I am right now. I never thought I'd say that about getting old. And the one thing that builds and accelerates in my life is I'm more grateful every day. I mean, I had a career. Nobody has a career for 40 years anymore.
That's true.
And when I was working at Channel 4, they used to send us to the Olympics. I got to go to two Olympics. I got to go to the Seoul Korea Olympics. I got to go to the Atlanta Olympics, even though a bomb went off and almost killed us. It was a wonderful experience. And I've met so many amazing people. I've traveled to the four corners of Southern California from Santa Barbara to the Mexican border and had nothing but spectacular experiences in my life. And I'm
what a blessing.
Like you say, you just what you do is feather, you know, you build your bouquet of experiences mm-hmm. and appreciate it. And that's what I've done.
Yeah. And also, to me, you know, having purpose and meaning gets you up in the morning. So I would imagine
100%
what you're feeling right now. What would you say to people? Because there's a lot of people struggling post-pandemic with social anxiety. And you know, when you're older, you perhaps have lost your job or your way, or you don't have that purpose and meaning. So
exactly.
What would you say?
Well, there's a whole lot of influence now contributing to what you're talking about. I think the pandemic, I think social media has reconfigured our whole society.
Oh, yeah.
We seem to be happy, not so much us, but slightly younger people, seem to be happy to communicate through text and without a phone call. Everything we're doing now is, you know, we can reach out farther and we can reach out more frequently, but we reach out not as deeply. You know what I mean?
It's not impersonal.
Yes. And so,
excuse me, it's not personable.
And I'll tell you, I had an experience. You know, I was scared to death, Janine, to retire, because I watched my father retire.
Mm-hmm.
And this was amazing. He was the classic post-World War II businessman whose entire identity was his work.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't see movies. He didn't read books. He watched, you know, Wheel of Fortune on TV. He cut his lawn. He weeded his garden. That was it. His whole identity and his whole life was his work, 12 hours a day.
Wow.
And when he died, I'm sorry, when he retired, I watched his life implode. He wasn't interested in anything. He didn't volunteer.
Oh.
He didn't do any nonprofit fundraising. He just imploded and became a smaller and smaller man over time. Mm. So I was really worried about that being, you know, genetically predisposed, that I was going to get that too. My life is nothing like that. I am busier now than I was when I was working. I'm on the board of 2 nonprofits. I'm performing more shows every week. I have grandchildren. One lives as close to Santa Clarita. My life is full. I sometimes forget what day it is. I'm so active. So
that's wonderful.
I am so grateful that I have that to look forward to. And I think all I would say is find something that, as you say, gives you a reason to get up in the morning or keeps your brain active and stay physically and intellectually active, and you can't go wrong.
Yes. So I'm so excited for your show. Could you just give listeners a sense of where they can get tickets, more information?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I don't know. I know that if you contact, you can do it either via the internet or just look up their phone number.
Yep.
The Lake Forest Performing Arts Center. I'll be down there tomorrow night at 7:30.
Fantastic.
And to my knowledge, now that may have changed over the last hour since I spoke to my booker. There may not be any tickets left, but try.
All right.
I would love to see you. The show's at 7:30. There are a couple of comedians. I'll be the headliner, and we'll have a wonderful time.
Awesome.
There are no politics.
Yay.
Again, my mission is to take people out of their heads for an hour and not remind them of the darkness of the world. So you'll come and have a good time.
Sounds amazing.
And if you're a person of a certain age like I am, if you're carrying a Medicare card in your wallet right now, you need to come and see this show.
Okay. All right. And I put all your information on the show blog, Get the Funk Out Show.
You're the best. You've always been a wonderful host, and I've enjoyed our friendship.
Thank you so much. And I hope to make it tomorrow night.
Well, if you would like to come, I would love you to let me know that so I can save a seat for you or two.
Okay. Let me think about it. Oh, yes, I'd like to come. Okay. We have to wrap up.
Thank you, dear. Thank you so much for always being so nice.
All right. Be well. See you soon. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye.
Fritz. All right. That's a wrap for me. Standing by, SoCal New Waver with Pass Forward. You can hear my conversation with Fritz on the show blog within an hour. Have a wonderful week, everyone, and I will be back next week. You're listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.